Hello, my name is Barnaby Jeans, and I would like to welcome you to the IT Manager podcast series. Today, I'm also joined by Ruth Morton, who will be my co-host for today's second episode on IT security. In our last security episode, we really focused on the new emerging security threats and how IT managers can secure its people and processes.
That's right, Barnaby. Today's episode focuses on taking a defense-in-depth approach to security. IT security is a top priority for today's businesses, but every day we hear of significant security breaches. So why does security fail, and how can the IT manager avoid this? Today we have a panel of experts, including Bruce Cowper from Microsoft Canada, Rob LeBay, Application and Consulting Engineering, also from Microsoft Canada, and Brian Bourne from CMS Consulting. They will be discussing the top reasons that security fails, the application layer security, and how to protect this last mile, and defense-in-depth security planning and incident response planning. So Bruce, Rob, and Brian, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Ruth. Thanks, Barnaby.
It's good to be here.
Now, Bruce, when we last discussed IT security, you had talked about how social engineering attacks are the new threats, which really talks to the importance of protecting that application layer as well as the infrastructure. Do you think that the application layer is where we see most security problems occur?
Yes, I do think it's one of the big areas that security is often overlooked. Though there's one other big security challenge with the social engineering attacks, where the organization's sort of people are attacked and not its networks and applications. So social engineering attacks tend to boil down to a similar methodology. For example, designing a fake email or website that will ask somebody to perform a specific task because it looks like the original, it looks like it's legitimate, and tries to get the user to do something like open an email or give away personal sensitive information, install software which may put backdoors into their systems, for example. Because today's operating systems continue to become more secure, especially in things like Windows Vista, we see that third-party applications and homegrown applications that may not have the latest security features are the ones that are being targeted most.
I do agree completely. I find that as I've been traveling around talking to various CIOs and CSOs and various other IT managers, that in industry in general, there's a strong understanding of network and host security, things like firewalls. People are using tools like Microsoft Forefront Security for Business. Folks are generally doing a very good job at securing their infrastructure. What people are overlooking, though, is their application-level security, their custom web applications, their custom line-of-business applications. And the challenge, because these applications are so customized and vary so widely in functionality and features, it's very difficult to commoditize the application layer security like we have with the other layers. So it requires a lot more thought, a lot more planning, and a lot more investment to make sure we get that application layer security done right. It's really today the last mile for IT security.
That's very interesting. So application security is one of the reasons that security fails. But can you also speak to some of the others?
Well, we see that there are really five key reasons why security fails. One is that failure to get buy-in from all levels and all parts of the organization for what you're doing, especially sort of management and finance. For example, the people that are going to give you the power to make those changes and the guys that are going to pay for it at the end of the day. The second reason is the overall failure to understand the sort of full network or system, understand everything that you have out there from a holistic perspective to know where the vulnerabilities might be. Well, this often sort of results in not applying appropriate defense mechanisms at the correct layer to target the correct threats.
And this is the point where we really have to start looking at that application layer security along with the infrastructure items.
Failure to implement technology in the right places is also another big issue. For example, a firewall at the edge of your network does a specific job. But if the traffic that's designed to pass through it doesn't do so, the firewall will be of no use. We see this especially at the application layer, where we're no longer talking about, say, source and destination addresses and ports. What we're looking at is the information that's being exchanged in that conversation, the data itself. So, for example, if we're using an application layer firewall to look at the content for web traffic, we're actually looking at what's contained in that web traffic rather than just looking at the domain or URL being accessed. The fourth real reason is not keeping the project as simple as possible. I see so many really, really complex projects out there that fail from a security perspective because they're hard to keep up to date, they're hard to maintain, they're hard to monitor, especially if you're talking about my sort of next point, which is the failure to keep accurate documentation. If you then make changes to them, it's really, really hard to understand what the changes you made and how they may impact the rest of your system.
So Brian here, I definitely agree with Bruce on that one. Customers that fail to keep good change management or follow good change management process often end up introducing new vulnerabilities or bypassing the security solutions they already have in place to mitigate the risks. You understand why they do this. They'll want to just get something to work. So the sysadmin will make a quick change, get something working, and skip the change management process, often creating exposures in the process.
So it's really critical to make sure that you're capturing that documentation so you know what's been changed on the system.
Yeah, and make sure that you're not opening anything else that you shouldn't be.
Excellent. I want to drill down onto one of the other points that we mentioned, and that's failure to understand the full network and the focus on application security. Rob, can you maybe take a minute and just tell us a little bit more about Microsoft's application consulting and engineering team?
Sure. Microsoft's application consulting and engineering team, or the ACE team, was formed shortly after Bill Gates' trustworthy computing memo in about 2005. Originally, the team was chartered to be responsible for the security, performance, and privacy of all of Microsoft's internal line of business applications. That is, the applications that Microsoft uses to run the business, as opposed to things like Windows Vista that we sell. So in the process of doing that, we developed a number of tools, a number of processes and procedures to really help the business secure that application layer, those line of business applications. And we realized that this is something that's not available as far as the tools and the processes in the market. So we saw an opportunity there to really help our customers benefit from the lessons that we've learned in securing our applications and help them analyze their application security processes and really start to tighten down things to their end. In part of doing that, we also, speaking to Brian's last point, we also have a suite of tools that will help monitor technical compliance of the infrastructure to ensure that these undocumented changes don't get snuck in.
Now, it sounds like there's a great deal of knowledge that your team has. What should IT managers think about when trying to secure the application layer?
I guess the biggest thing is they should start to think about it. We have the latest Gartner reports show that today, about 75% of attacks are targeting the application layer. So the first step is really to start integrating in security into the full systems development lifecycle, as opposed to adding it in as a line item in the project plan at the end of the process. So during your initial planning or envisioning phase, you're going to want to do a categorization step to try and anticipate the level of security an application requires. For example, a credit card or other processing system or some other system that handles personal information requires a lot more security than, say, an internal system used to track attendance at company barbecue. So the first step really is to start putting things into different levels of security. So threat modeling is the next step. During design, you're going to want to create a threat model to help you understand all the possible threats and vulnerabilities your application might be subject to. A good threat model also helps you understand the different attack vectors, the different countermeasures to counter those attacks, and really helps in the overall risk management of the process because the business gets a very good understanding of the risks they may be subject to because of this application. So you can design that full security strategy before you sit down to write a line of code.
What's also great about the Microsoft Threat Analysis and Modeling tool is that it's technology agnostic. So in other words, you're able to use it for customers who have a mixed environment.
That's right. So it really fits across the board. We find that even as technologies change, the types of threats, the types of vulnerabilities stay relatively constant. The next step is when you get to writing code. We often conduct security code reviews where we conduct line-by-line reviews of finished systems to help identify problems and provide mitigation information, but we also provide training to developers so that they can learn to write the secure code from the beginning. That way, security is not one of those things we try to retrofit in and it's put in all the way through, because we know it's much, much more expensive to try and fix security bugs after the code has already been written.
Application security is the last mile, but companies also need to think about infrastructure and incident planning, don't they?
Oh, very much so. Today we take a defense in depth approach to make sure your IT is as secure as possible. There are really sort of seven layers that consist of a defense in depth approach. The first one is looking at the data, making sure that we've got sort of good strong passwords, access control lists, encryption, encrypted filing system, backup and restore strategies, that sort of thing. The next layer is the application, which really goes back to what Rob was talking about. And I just want to make a note that what Rob is also talking about can be applied with the threat analysis and modeling tool to the infrastructure as well. The next layer is host, where we're talking about the operating system hardening, things like authentication, update management of the boxes themselves. And then we start to look at things like the internal network. So how we segment up the network, whether we do machine isolation with things like IPsec, looking at the traffic as it passes across my network with the intruder detection systems. Then pushing this out to the perimeter and looking at sort of firewalls and the border routers, the virtual private networks and quarantine procedures on those. In other words, looking at the traffic as it leaves our network and enters. But don't forget things like physical security, where you're talking about locking down the machines themselves, maybe not giving access to CD drives or removal media or USB devices. Last but not least, are things like having the right policies, procedures, and awareness in place, because technology is not necessarily a panacea. It's part of the package.
So certainly this is important, right, to have defense in depth. Threat modeling is very important to understand where the risks are, where you should spend your money first. The thing that's often overlooked outside of all these defensive measures is what happens when the defensive measures fail. And that's where companies need to start thinking about and putting in place an incident response plan. So a lot of our customers that we talk to, this is something that they still haven't spent a lot of time on and something that needs to be thought about.
Now, Brian, you've definitely got a point there. Can you tell us a little bit more about incident response planning?
So at a high level, it's when your security defenses have failed. It can be anything from an employee that you fired, like an old sysadmin who's still logging on and reading an executive's email, or an incident can be through hackers compromising your customer list or your credit card information, and it can be as simple as an automated attack that's dropped an FTP site.
So we've seen some pretty recent examples of this, such as TJ Maxx and Winners, as well as CNBC, where those security breaches have resulted in significant negative press for those organizations.
Definitely, both those organizations would be in incident response mode. Once an incident is detected, the natural tendency is often to panic and want to fix it right away. This is definitely the wrong approach. Incident response is similar to a crime scene. You can't start cleaning up or tampering with the evidence before forensics gets there. The truth is, you have time. Attackers have been in the system for weeks or months. In the case of TJ Maxx, it turns out they've been there for literally years. As a company, you have an obligation to figure out how they got in so you can make sure that they don't get in again and that you've actually removed them. Frequently, an attacker will place backdoors and those kind of things. So it requires you to take a holistic view. You also want to know what they did when they were inside so you can respond accordingly. All the evidence will hopefully point you to who committed the crime, how they did it, and what they did. And if you tamper with any of the evidence, you really may not be able to figure this out, and you certainly won't be able to take that evidence to court.
So, Brian, have you ever helped a client go to court due to an incident?
So I actually have a very recent example. We'll just call Company A the company that called us and Company B being their competitor. So Company A called us. They're in the process of losing a customer. So one of their Company A's customers is moving their business to Company B. That's the nature of business, and that's fine. The problem arises in that Company B is now using the shared customers' credentials on Company A's systems to get all their intellectual property, really, their processes and their competitive advantage. And so by using application logging and going through those logs, underlines the importance of turning on application logging, we're able to say that who's logged on, where they've logged on from, and what they did while they were logged on to put together a more complete picture, which will become a portion of the court case.
That's really interesting. So we touched on a lot of topics today, from the application layer security to defense in depth and incident response planning. So guys, do you have any final tips for IT managers?
Well, the main takeaway for me is that planning is key to IT security. IT managers need to look at multiple layers of security, and at every step they need to look at the risks and strategies they can use to help mitigate them.
Definitely. People need to think about what happens if the defenses do fail and to have a plan. Most businesses today do have a crisis scenario plan, and they need to take a similar approach with their IT security.
From my perspective, just to add on to what Bruce and Brian said, as organizations are developing their own line of business software, their own custom software, or having somebody else do it for them, they really have to ensure that security is built into the entire development process, and they're generating things such as threat models to integrate the risk management for those applications into the overall security and risk management for the organization.
Well, I think you all bring up some really great points around some of the tools that are available, some of the things that IT managers to think about. And I want to say thank you so much to Bruce, to Rob, and to Brian for taking the time to share your experience and your knowledge with our audience.
It's been great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let us know what you thought of this episode by posting a comment at microsoft.ca/ITpodcast, where you'll also find supplementary resources and other podcast episodes. Join us again next month as we take a look at high-performance computing, or HPC. Nick Garcusha from Microsoft Canada and Glenn Botchi, Business Development Manager for High Performance Computing at HP Canada, will discuss how HPC has evolved from its role in academic research and how it can help today's businesses. Thanks for listening.